First, if you wanted to research, say, artist Frida Kahlo in American newspaper archives, you might get better results if you look for the name Mrs. Diego Rivera. For decades, it was common practice for women to be referred to as Mrs., their husband's name. The New York Times' new project, The Mrs. Files, is exploring the pages of the past to examine how marriage and the titles that came with it shaped society and women's identities. Amy Padnani is an editor on the obituaries desk at The New York Times and co-creator of The Mrs. Files. Amy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I understand some of the inspiration for The Mrs. Files came from some confusing experiences going through the old photo card catalog at The New York Times. Can you tell us some of that origin story?
Yeah, that's right. So as you mentioned, a couple of years ago, I started a project called Overlooked, which writes the obituaries for women who never got them. And as my team did its research, we found that sometimes it was difficult to find out whether we had done an obit on a woman because she was referred to by her husband's name. As you mentioned, Frida Kahlo, we did have an obituary for her, but in it, she was called Mrs. Diego Rivera. So soon after Overlooked, we started another team called the Archival Storytelling Team, and we were tasked with telling stories about our past based on our archives, kind of like Overlooked. We have this room in the sub-basement level of our building that we call the morgue that has dozens of old photographs that we wanted to digitize. And in the process, we found it really peculiar that the folders often referred to women by their husbands' names. There were some really well-known women. Coretta Scott King's name was typewritten over an area that was whited out. We believe it once said Mrs. Martin Luther King Jr. And when we looked for pictures of June Carter Cash, the catalog directed us to Cash, Johnny and Mrs. So we found this really strange and thought it was worth digging into a little deeper. We found out the practice was not just done at the New York Times, but by society as a whole. And we took a deeper look into the history and the honorific of Mrs. and what it means to women and their identities. So that's how the Mrs. Files came about.
One of the subjects of pieces in the New York Times back in the day didn't want to put up with that. We know her now as Amelia Earhart, but she had to, you know, work with the New York Times to be called that in the pages. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, we referred to her by her husband's name as well. We would call her Mrs. Putnam or Mrs. George Putnam. And she knew our publisher pretty well. She wrote a letter in 1932 saying, hey, can you stop calling me Mrs. George Putnam? You know, actresses and writers are referred to by the name they wanted. So I think a famous pilot should get to choose her professional name as well. And so the Times agreed. And in our archives, you'll see some cases when she was referred to as Mrs. Putnam. And then after the letter in 1932, she's referred to as Amelia Earhart.
You and your colleagues dug into the history of this concept of calling a married woman Mrs. husband's name, and it didn't go back as far as I might have thought it had. Could you share with us how this whole practice started?
Yeah, you know, it actually began with the idea of social status. Mrs. is short for mistress, which doesn't mean the same thing that we think of it as today. A mistress was more about the amount of wealth or your social status, which sometimes you would get through marriage. So it was, you know, a respectful term. And Mrs. became more associated with marriage just sort of gradually over time, particularly after World War II, when women were being encouraged to get out of the workforce and back to domesticity, back to homes, back to marriage. And a lot of them took pride in their marital status. So they embrace the term Mrs., and that's really where it came to be and how it became popular.
We're talking to Amy Padnani with the New York Times, co-creator of The Mrs. Files, a project we're talking about, looking in part at the days when women were called Mrs., their husband's name, and more widely at what that title and marriage mean about the status of women. And Amy, you wrote a piece for The Mrs. Files project looking at the idea of marriage as a prize for women. What were some of the things you thought about there?
You know, I looked at how even when you take away the honorific Mrs., women are often taught, and young girls are taught through pop and social culture, that marriage is a prize. You hear it in songs, you see it on TV, you see it in movies where the happy ending is a marriage. But there's really so much more to a partnership than just simply getting married. It takes so much more work. And I found it rather frustrating to continually see this image again and again. And so my essay explores, well, why is it exactly that we keep on getting sort of barraged with this image growing up when modern women have found various ways of fulfillment, of fulfilling their lives?
And now getting back to the Mrs. title, obviously the New York Times doesn't do this anymore. What led to the change back away from referring to women by that Mrs. title?
So we finally adopted the honorific Ms. in 1986. That term came, it was kind of loaded at first. A lot of people associated with radical feminists, you know, there was Ms. Magazine. But soon it became known that women should actually, you know, have the choice to reveal their marital status. Why should they have to be called Mrs. or Miss when Mr. doesn't indicate a marital status for men? So we hired our first ever female copy editor in 1956, Betsy Wade. And slowly, this cadre of women in the newsroom kind of banded together for various issues that they cared about. And one of them was adopting this honorific. Betsy told me that one day she remembers editing this story where a physician in Vietnam was referred to as Mrs. rather than doctor, just simply because she was lumped in a description of all the nurses. And it really made her angry. So there were, this is not the only instance. This came up again and again. There were protests outside the building for feminists insisting on the honorific Ms. It was a really big deal, a lot of debates, a lot of meetings. And finally, the male leadership decided that they would adopt Ms. in 1986 and so give women the right to choose.
Mm-hmm. 1956, Betsy Wade started. 1986, the change was actually finally made. So this was not an overnight change.
No, definitely not. It took a lot of, you know, riling up in society as a whole through the 1970s, through the feminist movement, I think, before the Times was able to catch on.
We've touched on just a couple of the things you're talking about in the Mrs. Files. What else is up there? What can we look forward to in the future as it continues?
Yeah, so we might have another installment in the next few months. Initially, we weren't certain about it, but it seems like there's a lot of strong reader reaction, a lot of feelings of identity that came up. And there were a couple of topics that we want to explore more, perhaps looking back at Black women and honorifics, because there's a whole history there of issues of respect. That might be one story we dig a little deeper into. Other than that, I'm not entirely sure. For this one, we had hired three poets to write poems about the honorific and what it means to them, and those were also really powerful. So we might explore something like that again, too.
In a way, as you go back through the archives, I imagine it, I don't know, I look at these stories and think, oh, this is so quaint and old-fashioned, and then I think it really wasn't that long ago that all this was going on. I don't know, what is your sense of the history as you dig into these files and see how things have changed?
So interesting, because history just reveals so much about who we are as human beings. And I think that exact question all the time, you know, it wasn't that long ago. And what does that really mean for our future? If somebody 100 years from now is looking at our practices today, what are they going to think feels kind of backwards? Or what are they going to think was right? You know, it's really kind of incumbent on us to think about these sorts of questions as we go about, you know, our day-to-day.
Amy, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you.
Amy Padnani is a New York Times editor. We've been talking about the new project called The Mrs. Files, a historic look at what titles and marriage mean for women's identity.